Today we are continuing our series, Dangerous Prayers. This series is all about helping you and me move beyond praying simple prayers always, all the time. For instance, praying a prayer like, God, thank you for this food, is important because it reminds us that God has provided what we have in front of us. But it doesn't take a lot of faith to pray that prayer. It's pretty safe. It's pretty simple. So in this series, we're going to talk about moving forward in our faith, moving forward in our prayers so that we pray dangerous prayers, prayers that are faith-building, life-changing, risk-taking prayers every day in our lives. Now, as we dive in, I want to just make sure that if you are listening with someone today, that you have introduced yourself or at least said hello and made eye contact today, because you're going to need your friend for a little exercise we're going to do to get our thoughts rolling today as we begin our time together. I'm going to give you a category, a sport, a career, and I'd like for you to turn to your neighbor and just have them tell you, and you tell them, who you believe is the greatest of all time in this particular area. So are you ready? Have you said hello? Have you made eye contact? Let's go. So turn to your friend and tell them who you believe to be the greatest basketball player of all time. Now, who's the greatest author of all time in your opinion? Who's the greatest singer? And now, who's the greatest NFL quarterback? So how did you do? Did you agree? I suspect there might have been a little bit of debate. And in fact, you may want to continue the debate after we finish digging into God's Word together. But don't continue it right now. Give a listening ear. Because I have a follow-up question. What do you think made these people the greatest of all time? Now, there's no question that good DNA helps. Raw talent, raw ability that God gives you absolutely helps. Opportunities play a role in being the greatest of all time. But if there was one thing that you build upon that must be a part of your training and planning and becoming the greatest of all time, you'd have to say that it requires practice. I mean, you can have incredible raw talent, and if you don't practice, you won't be much good. You'd just be mediocre. You can have wonderful, natural, good DNA, but if you don't practice, you probably won't ever move beyond the middle of the pack. For people who become the greatest of all time, they take what they have, natural ability, good DNA, opportunity, and they practice and practice. They develop habits that they can do almost without thinking. They become great. So if you are putting habits and practices into your life today, let me ask you, what are those habits? What are those things that you are practicing every single day? What habits are you developing in your life? Maybe some of you would say, you know, I'd like to develop a healthier lifestyle. And so you are trying to put into practice making better choices, eating healthier meals, maybe incorporating some exercise into your daily routine. Some of you might say, I would really like to land a promotion in my company during this next calendar year. And so you're studying hard to learn more. You're working hard to develop your business skills. You're talking to people who maybe are farther along than you are so they can give you some wisdom and some insight. You're working hard. You're developing those habits and practices so you can gain a promotion. Maybe some of you would say, you know, there's this relational conflict that we've had in our family, and we'd like to resolve it. And so you're thinking, you're praying, you're working hard, you're trying to develop the habit of listening as opposed to always speaking first. You're trying to figure out what are the battles that are really most important for us to fight, and what are the things that we need to let go. You're working hard to develop some habits so you can clear up some relational conflict. What are the things you are practicing, habits you're developing these days? Well, there's no debate that improving your health habits is a good thing. Increasing your business acumen, that's a good thing. Resolving some long-standing relational spats, those are all good things. But based on the truth of God's Word, there's another practice, another habit that we need to develop because it affects every single area of our life. This habit we're going to talk about, it doesn't matter whether you lead a company or you sweep floors. Doesn't matter whether you're single or married, whether you are a no-kid family or you have 10 kids. Doesn't matter if you are a teacher or a parent or a student. This habit or practice we're talking about revolves around praying a dangerous prayer. And it's simply this prayer: God, speak to me. That prayer helps us develop a habit of listening to the whispers, to the promptings of God. And it may be the most powerful practice and powerful habit that you could ever engage in. In fact, for us to reach our God-given potential in this life, you and I have to develop the habit of listening to God's voice. Think about it. Do you and I, as followers of Jesus, do we listen to God's whispers and promptings with the same intensity and passion we give to the other pursuits of our life? That's a convicting question for me. As I think about this dangerous prayer, God, speak to me, it reminds me of a passage from the Old Testament found in the book of 1 Samuel. And this passage, I think, helps us understand some of the factors in being able to pray this dangerous prayer. Let me give you a bit of context. And if you find 1 Samuel and you go to chapter 2 and then chapter 3, you discover that Israel is in a very, very interesting position. They have a group of people who are priests, and many of these priests are not honoring God. They're given the task of helping Israel worship God, and yet they are far from God in their own hearts and in their own lives. In fact, there's a family, the family of Eli, and his sons are some of the leading priests in the nation. And if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, it describes Eli's sons this way. It says, "The sons of Eli are scoundrels, and they had no respect for the Lord or for their duties as priests." And then we're told how these sons of Eli, who are tasked with leading Israel in worship, actually are getting fat and rich off from the offerings that people are bringing to God. They're taking the best for themselves. We're told how they actually seduce some of the women who are helping in the tabernacle area with the duties and responsibilities of preparing the tabernacle for worship. And they're taking advantage of these young women. And God is frustrated with them. And God sends a man to say to Eli, "Because you have not done what you need to do with your sons and disciplined them for their wrong deeds, I'm not going to allow your family to be priests any longer." And so you have this culture in Israel, this culture that people are simply not listening to God. They're ignoring God. Their hearts and their minds are closed to God's promptings and to God's leadings. They really have a closed heart to God. And there's in the middle of all of this a young man named Samuel, whose parents, Elkanah and Hannah, have prayed for him. And when he's born, they dedicate him to the service of the Lord. And so in the middle of all of this culture of ignoring God and doing things that are ungodly, lives this boy named Samuel in the tabernacle close to Eli, the high priest. And you look at Scripture and you discover in 1 Samuel chapter 3 these words. It says, "The boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon." Verse 2, "One night Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God in the tabernacle had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, 'Samuel.' 'Yes,' Samuel replied, 'what is it?' And he got up and he ran to Eli. 'Here I am. Did you call me?' 'I didn't call you,' Eli replied. 'Go back to bed.' And then the Lord called out to Samuel again, Samuel, and again he got up and he ran to Eli and he said, here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli said, go back to bed. Verse 7 says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he'd never heard a message from the Lord. And so the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and he runs into Eli. Here I am, did you call me? And Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. And so he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls you again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord did call as before. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then the Lord said to Samuel, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. And he tells Samuel that the prophecy that Eli's sons will no longer be priests is about to come true. Samuel, this young boy, probably 10 or 11, maybe 12 years old, hears the voice of God. And he responds by saying, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, because I am listening. I think from that little event in the life of history and in the life of Samuel, we discover some really critical things about being able to pray this dangerous prayer with authenticity and developing the habit of listening. If we're going to develop the habit of listening, if we're going to pray this dangerous prayer, it requires that we have an open spirit to God. I love these very, very simple words of Samuel. Your servant is listening. Samuel says, God, I have an open spirit to what you want to say. You realize that Samuel actually wants to hear God's thoughts, God's plan, God's direction. He's open to hearing whatever God has to say. Remember, he's living in a culture where the posture of so many people in Israel are deaf to the voice of God. Their ears are closed to the voice of God. But Samuel shows that you can move in a whole different direction. You can have a whole different posture. Everybody around you could be saying, I don't really want to hear from God. My heart is closed to the voice of God. And you in the middle of that, you and I in the middle of that kind of culture, we can have an open spirit to what God has to say, and we can live our life asking God to speak to us and determined that we are going to listen. This really is a way of life. Thomas Kelly said one time, there is a way of ordering our mental life on more than one level at once. On one level, we're just thinking, discussing, seeing, calculating, meeting all the demands of our life. But deep within, behind the scenes, at a more profound level, we can also be in a spirit of prayer and worship. And he says we can live with a gentle receptiveness to divine breathings. We can live with an open spirit to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never heard God speak to me with a thunderous voice from heaven. I've never seen handwriting in the sky with a message to me from God. And frankly, when somebody tells me they've seen such things or heard such things, I'm a little suspicious. I suspect you are too. So as we talk about listening to God today, I'd like for you to think about being receptive to those divine breathings, those promptings, those leadings of the Spirit of God, rather than hoping for some thunderous voice from heaven. If you really want to hear God speak, then you have to listen. You have to listen in the midst of a world filled with other voices and filled with other messages. You have to have an open spirit, an open heart. And if in the middle of a world that's giving you all sorts of other messages and all sorts of other voices are talking, then you and I, if we're going to listen, we have to create space. We have to create space to listen. I think it's so interesting that God spoke to Samuel when everything around him was quiet. The noise of the day had stopped. Samuel was quiet. Actually, Samuel is asleep. And that's when he hears the voice of God. Now think about this. Samuel lived and worked in the tabernacle of God, a place dedicated to the worship and the Spirit and the presence of God. And yet in that very place, there were people living completely out of touch with God. And there were all sorts of distractions from hearing the voice of God in the very place where God was supposed to be honored. And it reminds me that in any physical location, we can be distracted. We can have so many other things going on that we don't even have space in our mind and in our heart to listen. It reminds me of the words of Psalm 46, where the author talks about mountains and earthquakes. He talks about nations in chaos and kingdoms crumbling. And this writer of Psalm 46, he's obviously observed or thinking about times of social upheaval and natural disasters. And in the midst of all of that, he writes in verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world." The writer says, in the midst of a world that seems to have gone crazy, I'm going to be still. And in that stillness, in my own heart, I'm going to be aware of the presence of God. I think it's so important for us to understand that space to listen doesn't necessarily mean quiet all around us. In fact, this creating space to listen has very little to do with actual physical space. Rather, it's creating space to listen in our hearts and in our minds. It's taking a breath and it's pausing even in our prayers to listen. I think all of you are intelligent enough to know that communication is always a two-way street. And that's true in prayer. The essence of communication is us communicating with God, us talking to God, and God talking to us. In other words, prayer isn't just a one-way dialogue. Prayer is actually listening to God. In fact, I think I would argue that God has done way more in my heart and in my life when I've listened to Him than when I've just spent all of my time talking. Prayer isn't just talking. Prayer is pausing to listen to what God says. And I wonder sometimes if God, in our prayer times, actually gets to the point where He says, "Enough already! You've told me what you want me to do. You've told me what you need, and I've heard you. Now just pause and let me respond back to you. Pause and let me tell you how much I love you. Pause and let me tell you how I want to guide you. Pause and just let me give you what you need to walk through this day in your life." God is speaking. The question is, are we actually listening? We have to create space to listen. And creating space may look in a very unique way in your life. One of the ways that I create space is by walking and praying, prayer walking. I pray best when I'm walking, and so I create space to pray, create space to listen when I'm walking. For many people, it's reading Scripture, or it's attending a worship gathering. It's setting aside that time to honor God and to worship God and to hear from God. Perhaps it's a Bible study group or a small group. Maybe for you, it's listening to music, worship music, that helps you create space in your heart and mind to hear God. Whatever it is that helps you listen, you have to do it. And you have to be intentional. You know, there are 168 hours in every week of our lives. And I wonder how many of these we are focusing on actually learning and listening to God and growing in our faith. How many of that 168 hours are you and I developing the habit of listening? Well, we have to, if we're going to develop this habit of listening, we have to have an open heart and an open spirit to what God wants to say. We have to create space to listen, and we have to be willing and ready to follow God's promptings. Whatever God says, we have to be willing to follow. Listening takes courage. It takes courage because Samuel listens to God and he hears a startling message from God about the fate of Eli's family. And Samuel, as this young boy, winds up having to communicate that to Eli himself. Talk about a tough job. Yet Samuel shows us this pattern, this habit, as a young boy that he actually lives out through his entire life. He listens to what God says, and then he does what God directs him to do. He listens to what God says, and he does what God directs him to do. Proverbs 3, verse 6 says it very simply, "Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." When you and I come to God with an open heart and an open spirit, and when we create space to listen, God will help us know what direction to go, and we have to be willing to follow His promptings. Here's why it's so important for us to think about this piece of listening, is because the path that God asks us to take isn't always easy. In fact, it probably won't be easy. Think about this. How many times in the Bible did God speak and give people direction and they thought the assignment was easy? Can you come up with any time? For example, think about Noah. God speaks to Noah and says, "Hey, Noah, I want you to build an ark because it's going to rain so hard the earth is going to flood." And Noah had some very, very simple questions for God, like, what's an ark? And what's rain? It had never rained on the earth before this time. Noah probably didn't initially just say, "Oh yeah, God, I'll just take care of that after lunch." He didn't understand for sure what God was saying, but he followed God's direction. Jonah. God says to Jonah, "I want you to go and preach to the most wicked, perverse, violent people that have ever lived on the face of the earth. I want you to tell them that they need to repent or die." Jonah doesn't respond with, "Oh, sure, that's easy, God. Be glad to do it." It was a hard task. Jonah did everything he could to avoid the task. In the New Testament, an angel comes to Mary and says, "Mary, yes, you're a virgin, but you're going to get pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to give birth to a child, and that won't be just any child. It'll be the Son of God." And Mary doesn't respond with, "Oh, that's so cool." She doesn't respond with, "Oh my goodness, that'll be so awesome because it'll blow up on social media and I can be an influencer on social media." No, Mary doesn't say that. Mary is confused and disturbed, is what Scripture says. When God speaks, often He directs us in a way that will make us uncomfortable, in a way that will build our faith. The assignment that God gives, the direction that God calls us to, will challenge us and stretch us. It may not be easy to hear, but you and I have to come to God with an open heart, create space to listen, and be committed and willing and ready to follow His promptings. If you and I have the courage to pray the dangerous prayer, "Speak to me, Lord," God will speak to us. And it might be convicting. It might be challenging. It might be calling us to do something that seems like it's impossible to do. But we can be certain of this: God's voice will stretch us and teach us to depend on Him and live with greater faith than we ever have before. Pastor Greg Rochelle says it like this: "Don't ask God to speak if you don't want to hear what He says." As you and I listen to the Spirit prompting us and listen to the Holy Spirit directing us, and as we walk in that direction that we're being led, we will discover that more and more and more we will hear the voice of God guiding and directing in our lives. Sometimes we haven't heard from God directing us in a new direction or directing us with more steps to take because we haven't followed the direction God's already given us. Maybe God isn't showing us what to do in the future because we haven't done what He called us to do yesterday or in the past. See, this dangerous prayer, "Speak to me," is a moment by moment, day by day, decision by decision prayer. It is a way of life. It is the habit, the practice of listening. One of my favorite examples of this is a man named Nicholas Herman, who later became known as Brother Lawrence. During his life, he realized that he was incredibly dissatisfied with his life. And so, around the age of 50, he made a bold decision to leave the life that he had had behind and to enter a monastery in Paris to devote himself fully to knowing and serving God. Now, by his own admission, Brother Lawrence entered the monastic community in order to learn and to figure out the art of spiritual life and worship and how that looks in an everyday life. And you can imagine his surprise when the tasks that he are given are not to serve in a worship service or a worship gathering all the time, but instead to actually be in charge of the kitchen duty for the monastery. And at first, Brother Lawrence finds himself rather frustrated and confused and not sure how in the world he's going to experience God in the kitchen. But over time, something very interesting happens. Rather than viewing his work as frustrating, he begins to view his work as an act of worship to God. And he says, in his own words, "Slaving over a hot stove taught me how to practice the presence of God." His spirit changed, his attitude changed. Rather than being frustrated about his work in the kitchen, it became a part of his spiritual life and his worship. And the other men in the monastery noticed the change in him, and so they came and asked, "What in the world is going on?" And in response, he says, "I have discovered that I just can communicate with God all the time." He eventually writes a book called The Practice of the Presence of God, and he speaks about the goal for every Christ follower, his words, that we might accustom ourselves to a continual conversation with God, with freedom and simplicity. Now let's put it in our contemporary vernacular and language. Brother Lawrence is saying we need to get used to being in continual conversation with God. We need to live our life as if we have our earbuds in or our Bluetooth device connected to our brain, and we are constantly being able to listen to the voice of God because we have a constant connection with heaven. Brother Lawrence discovered that it doesn't matter whether he's in a cathedral worshiping or whether he's in a kitchen. He can be in constant communication with God. He can be praying that prayer, "God, speak to me. I'm going to listen." So as you consider this dangerous prayer, what do you need to address in your life to develop this habit of listening? Maybe you've lived your life for years with sort of your eyes shut and your ears deaf to God's whispers. And more than anything else, what you need to do today is just say, "Okay, God, I'm done ignoring you. I am willing to listen. I'm going to open my heart to whatever it is you have to say to me through your word. I'm going to open my heart to what you have to say." Perhaps today, as you honestly look at your life, you realize that you've been living at such a hectic pace that you've just sort of been skimming along the surface of life, and there has been so much noise in your heart that you actually haven't heard. You actually haven't listened. You haven't been able to clear out the clutter enough to actually listen. And what you need most to do today is to make a decision to create space. Maybe you would say, "You know what, I've been given 168 hours every week, but I have focused on everything else. I've given very little time to actually listening, to actually praying a dangerous prayer." And what you are determined to do today is to change that and to build that habit into your life, to devote some time every day to living this way of life, saying, "God, speak to me because I'm listening." Maybe for some of us, we need to actually do what God has already told us to do. God's already said, here's where I need you to go. Here's what I need you to do. Here's the step that I need you to take. Here's the life that I'm calling you to. And we're frustrated because we haven't heard from anything else from God because we actually haven't done what He's already told us to do. Wherever you find yourself today, I want to encourage you to be bold enough and courageous enough to pray a dangerous prayer. God, speak to me. I'm listening. Let's pray together. God, we're grateful for the amazing example of a little boy named Samuel. A little boy who heard you calling and said, God, speak to me. I will listen. Would you help us to follow that example in our own life? Help us not just to throw up these words, but to genuinely in our heart as we pray this prayer, to actually pray it with an open spirit and an open heart to whatever it is you want to say. Help us be willing to make adjustments so that we can actually create space to listen. Help us determine that we are not going to allow our life to be so full of every other voice and every other message and every other activity that we don't even have space to hear you. Help us create space. And God, help us to do what you call us to do. Be willing to hear and follow, hear and do exactly what you call us to. We pray for your help in this area, and God, we look forward. We look forward to hearing your voice, to listening, and to doing what you're calling us to do. Give us the courage to pray this prayer this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.